You're listening to Back to Us Radio on the Back to Us Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are now tuned in to Chip Table Talk Radio
with Reggie Jackson.
Reggie Jackson.
Back to us.
Wit! What is happening, everybody? What, did I come in too loud on the wit that time?
I was just turning it down.
I was like, wit! They've immediately jumped on the controls
distortion.
On the wit. What's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to Table Talk. I'm comedian Reggie Jackson. As always, I'm here with my BFF, David Young. What's up, David?
How's it going?
Pretty good. Can't complain, David. I'm unable to complain.
Good.
We want to start out the show by giving a great big shout out to my good friend, Mr. Clayton English.
Yeah.
Who this last week won Last Comic Standing.
Yep.
And I knew that he was going to win because he's awesome. And when I was watching the season finale, like, he just did the best job out of everybody.
It's true. He definitely deserved it.
I mean, he just went up there. He did his thing. He's got an arsenal of jokes.
Mm-hmm. Like, and the jokes that he didn't tell in winning that would win that competition.
Yeah. The joke that he did do, though, is my favorite joke that he does.
Which one?
The one monkey. Oh, wait. No, he didn't do that on that. He did the Today Show the next day.
Uh-huh. With Seth The Late Show with Seth Meyers?
He did Seth Meyers, and then the next morning he did the Today Show.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And he did my favorite joke on the Today Show, which is, one monkey won't stop no show. I bet if a monkey come in here right now, his show is over.
Oh, yeah.
And he low-key shaded Circus.
Really?
On his Today Show interview. Like, I don't
know.
We've got to watch it when we get finished with this. Because I posted it on Facebook and I was like, Clayton is really on one. They were running down like the list of things he had done, like all the odd jobs he'd ever had. Like, oh, look, see's here. You worked at IKEA and you worked at blah, blah, blah. And he was like, man, where'd y'all get all this information from? And then they were like, yeah, and you were an act in the circus. And he was like, yeah. I was in the circus, and it was difficult.
Yep.
And we were all like, oh! Like, he didn't say which circus.
Yeah.
But he, like, slick just got by with, like, a very a jab on...
Like, I lost my job today. We all lost our
job. Don't feel bad, Reggie. We all lost our job today.
Oh, that's an inside joke nobody listening is going to get.
Right. But, yeah. So, he... but, yeah, Clayton won. He won $250,000 and a developmental deal with NBC.
Yeah.
And
so
he called me. He called me right after the show aired. And I picked up the phone and I was like, what? And I told him, because I'd been asking him this whole time if he won. And of course he wouldn't tell me. He would never tell me. We've talked about this on the show.
But he's known for months because that's how TV works.
Right.
Yeah.
But I knew that he got in top five.
Yeah.
Like from the beginning.
Yeah.
And I was like, why didn't you tell me? And he was like, you know, I couldn't tell anybody. And I'm like, I'm glad you didn't tell me, because I would have told everybody.
Yep. You would have.
I'm one of those people, if I buy you a Christmas present in October, I'm going to wrap it and just give it to you in October, because I just can't sit on the secrets very long. Come here, Jackson. I can't sit on the secrets for very long.
Yeah, like the whole Walking Dead thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you're not caught up, you probably shouldn't listen to this show.
Definitely not. But yeah, I'm so happy for him, though.
Me too.
He looks good on the NBC stage.
He looks good on all of that, yeah.
Yeah, he's just a good-looking guy, and he's smiling, and he's charismatic, and you and I both know from knowing him personally, like, he's just a nice guy.
Right. I've been very happy and very proud to tell all my friends as we're watching this show that he is, like, the most approachable, most, like, easygoing, like, humble person and certainly one of the funniest guys I've ever met. Like, even not, I know a lot of comedians, and I know a lot of them are not that funny off the stage. They may be hilarious on the stage, but a lot of them it doesn't really translate. But he's that funny off the stage too.
Yeah, when he's not asleep. You know, that motherfucker sleep from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. and wake up at 9 p.m. and be ready to go do something. Yeah, but, yeah, I had to check somebody on Facebook the other day because they were like, well, now, like, they had put in the comment thing, and they're like, well, now that he's big time, he's probably not even going to speak to us. And I'm like, I spoke to him last night. Like, yeah. Same kid.
Yeah.
He's been had big opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like,
opening
Tyler
for Dave
Perry.
Chappelle.
Opening for Dave Chappelle.
Yeah.
Circus.
Circus.
Like, he's been had big opportunities. So, this is just, but this is Nikki, we made it.
Right. Right.
NBC is like,
so
you can throw the middle finger to whatever circus you want and be like, yeah. I don't ever have to go back there.
Clayton English, the next big name in comedy.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm just really proud of him. And he, but when you watch the Today Show, knowing him like you and I know him, you can tell that it's A, very early in the morning, and B, he hasn't smoked any weed. Like, you can just tell.
Yeah.
But he rocked it out, though.
Nice.
Like, no shade. Like, I'm so proud of him.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, I was like, you won $250,000. And he's like, yeah, man, I know. And I was like, can I get 20 bucks? And he's like, man, I ain't even seen that check yet. I have not got it yet. And the dope part about it is he's going to get that check. And as of September 11th, he went on tour and he's headlining the Last Comic Standing tour. He's headlining.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Last Comic Standing tour.
Do you know when that comes through Atlanta?
No, but I'm sure.
Okay.
We'll find out. He was like, we're coming back around. He was like, I'll let you know. And he's like, I got you.
Yeah.
So,
hell yeah.
Yeah. I fucks with Clayton for a long time. So it's just great to see him. I cried like a baby when he won for multiple reasons.
And that kind of gives me a little boost of confidence because I've got 77 followers on Instagram, but he's one of them. So.
Hollywood.
It's quality over quantity.
It sure is. I only got 77 followers, but two of them are the top comedians in the country.
Yeah.
And I do mean myself.
Yeah.
I'm going to curl up in a ball and say that. But, yeah, so that's dope. And everybody, I've been having a lot of people text me, and they're like, you know, why didn't you audition? And you don't understand that you don't audition for that.
No.
Get over here, Jackson. Come here before I take your life. You don't audition for it.
Table Talk does not endorse dog slaughter. Throw that out there.
Yeah. What was I saying before I yelled at Jackson?
You don't audition for that?
Oh, you don't audition for it. You create a buzz about yourself, and they come and find you. They sit in the back of every comedy club all across America, major cities, of course, like Atlanta, Chicago.
Right.
And they ask the ones to come that they like. So the answer to all those questions is when I get my yamp ass on stage. This book has been consuming me. I'm so excited.
Tell us which book.
My book, the one I talk about like every week. It's called I Went Through a Breakup and I Joined the Circus, and we shot the cover for it today, and I loved it. And Jackson's on the cover, my dog with me, and that makes me very happy. If she wasn't on there, people would riot. They won't be like, well, where was Jackson? Because she's with me all the time. I'm trying to set a release date for it for October 7th.
Nice.
My birthday.
Okay.
But I don't know if that's going to work out because it's been a lot harder process than I thought it was going to be. But that's been consuming me, and I'm very excited about that, my book, when it comes out. It's a very raw piece of me.
I'm excited to read it.
Thanks. What have you been doing? Dragon Con? How'd
Dragon
that go?
Con. That was great. There were a lot of highlights. Probably my favorite thing that happened, though, was I worked a panel where it was all the voice actors for a variety of things. Like, probably the biggest name was Goofy, the guy who voice acts for Goofy at Disney, Goofy the dog. He was on that. There was also Commander Shepard from the Mass Effect video game series. There was the voice of Yakko from the Animaniacs and Pinky from Pinky and the Brain. There was Frylock from Aqua Teen Hunger Force and a variety of other like voices and stuff. And
that's cool.
Yeah, and it was just, they had people line up. There wasn't much of a structure. People just lined up and asked whatever questions they wanted to, and all these people would just answer, usually in their voices. and they were all hilarious, and they'd ask Goofy to say dirty things and be like, "Yuck, well," and then he'd just say some just disgusting Goofy, shit.
It's pretty decent.
Yeah. So that was awesome. On another panel, there was the guy who played Chewie in Star Wars. The guy who was in the suit making the noises, he was on
Shut up.
So that was cool. And then there was the robot battles. There was a robot battling tournament where there were two different weight classes, a 12-pound and under and a 30-pound and under weight class. And they played this sumo-style robot battle where you had to knock one another off the platform. And that was really cool with just, like, remote-control robots. And then the last thing I'd have to talk about was the cosplay aspect of it, which we talked about leading up to it. Thanks to my wonderful girlfriend, I was Deathstroke from DC Comics, who is kind of the DC equivalent of Deadpool. The same creator created Deadpool and Deathstroke. Deadpool's alter ego is Wade Wilson. Deathstroke is Slade Wilson. So I looked badass in that costume, and rather than going with Starfire like we talked about in our last episode, Natasha actually wound up going as Wonder Woman.
I know, I loved her costume.
Yeah, she looked great in that, and we had a good old time.
Well, the best part about Dragon Con was that you got her a lightsaber that is so legitimate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, you first, when I said I got a lightsaber, your reaction was, "Oh, you can get that at Walmart," but no, not like this. This feels like a lightsaber. It's metal. It's got some weight to it. It's sturdy. You could hit it against something, and it doesn't like break. It doesn't feel like it's gonna break. And then the best part.
What if somebody broke in your house and was in your kitchen trying to steal some shit, and you walked from out of the bedroom and was like, "Mom."
Yeah.
I would just run.
I want to say on the air the whole rundown that I gave you, like, when this type of lightsaber, you press a button and it lights up and it goes vroom, and then you start waving it around and it's got a motion sensor, and every time you swing it, it goes vroom, vroom, vroom. And
sickening.
Yeah, so it would look legit.
I really don't know what I would do if I was breaking it. First of all, because I burglarize homes on the regular. It's kind of just my side gig.
Well, of course.
But yeah, I don't know what. That would just be frightening. But yeah. Only if the burglar was a nerd. If he had like a real gun, he would be like, pum, 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 and he'd just die.
You can block lasers, but you bitch, you can't block bullets.
Right. If you were a real Jedi, you could. Sorry, my bad. I went into fantasy world.
Actually, yeah, I guess a lightsaber probably could block a bullet. Just vaporize it, right? If it can cut a hole through a metal door, it could probably vaporize a bullet.
Probably. Well, you know, you see them when the droids are shooting at them.
Well, the droids are always shooting lasers, though. There aren't any bullets in the Star Wars universe.
Oh, school. My bad.
I'm so excited for episode 7 coming up.
Yeah, me too. In December on Ty Galloway's birthday.
Yep.
Shout out to Ty, who came down today after serving our country all day to be kind enough to shoot that book cover. I appreciate him.
Yep.
Fear the Walking Dead is on episode 3 now.
I'm going to set my mic down. No, go on.
It's on episode 3 now. So, you know, episode 1, I was like, eh. Episode 2, I was like, mm. Episode 3... I'm in it.
Okay.
Episode 3, it got so real, like, really quick, and everybody's seeing, like, it's actually right now in the middle of the outbreak, so everybody's really kind of seeing what's going on. And there was a dog on the last episode, on episode 3, and it was actually called the dog.
Hmm.
And the dog is, like, trying to fight a zombie, and it's a German Shepherd, and he's just like... very well trained dog, obviously. I mean, this dog is just like going in like rah, 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 rah. And Jackson is sitting on the couch the whole time that dog is barking, and then she starts barking, and I can't finish watching the scene because she won't shut up, and then the dog dies. Buzzkill.
Oh,
the dog dies.
Spoiler alert.
And spoiler alert indeed, especially for the dog.
Yeah,
I didn't know that. I had a long run, and so it made that sound like a dying dog sound. And Jackson was like, What are you watching? This is horrible.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm about that life.
Okay. That I'm not surprised that you turn it around.
Is a new show. Well, I think it's like its second season or something that's on. It's called Ladies of London.
Okay.
And it's like the London version of the Housewives of wherever. And these bitches are so pretentious. It is like, it's crazy. I think I was talking about them like last season. They were making fun of some girl that went to a polo match.
Hmm.
And they were like, no one wears hats to a polo match. Like, crap, we wouldn't know. And they're all like royalty and in line. The one girl, her husband's like in line for the throne somehow, some number that's substantial. Hmm. And they live in a complex that's like the dopest, coolest thing. It's like an old cobblestone complex with a church where they got married. Like, it's a little small village where they live. That's their house.
I kind of imagine that all of them have like 007 type setups, like cars coming out of the ground and spinning around and turning invisible.
I don't know about all that. Maybe. I didn't see it.
I'm going to keep imagining that anyway.
It'll just make it cooler for you.
Yeah.
But they're extra pretentious, and they're American women that are over there, and they're, like, not fond of us at all.
Yeah.
And they're all, like, I don't know. It just, it's hilarious to watch, because it really is, like, a snooty version of the Housewives of Atlanta. It's always funny to watch the Housewives shows, and I'm not going to call anybody out in particular, but some of the Housewives shows have money. Some of those women have money.
Yeah.
Some of those women are wealthy.
Right.
And some of those women are filthy, stinking rich.
Yeah.
Like, just...
Wait, but aren't they all ratchet, though? Like, no matter how much money they have, they're still ratchet?
It depends. It's a different level of ratchet. Like, the ones that are predominantly black, like Housewives of Atlanta,
mm-hmm.
when they go at it, like, they really read one another. Like, they take it to an intelligent level, and they're just like, oh, really? Because your hair looks a mess, and you're blah, blah, blah. Like, they read one another really well. Like, they try to hurt feelings.
Uh-huh.
But when the white women, the white shows, like the Housewives of Orange County or New York, like, when they get into arguments, they just scream and throw stuff.
Huh. Huh.
And it really kind of doesn't make any sense, their argument.
Do the English women scream and throw stuff, or do they just, like, have tame little insults?
Yeah, they throw social shade. Like,
they're like, oh, I'm glad you had the confidence to wear that dress today.
Right, exactly. And they're like, you know, in London, they can smell a social climber a mile away. Like, that's the kind of crap they say. Like...
They're trying to be ratchet, but it's so far removed from them.
Well, they're very particular. These ladies of London, they are very, very rich, and they all come from, like, years and years of money. Like, the Housewives of Beverly Hills changed the game for me. Because they don't look nouveau riche at all. Like, they've been had money for a very long time. And, at the beginning of the Housewives show, they all the different Housewives, like Atlanta, they all hold a peach. And New York, they all hold an apple. But the Housewives of Beverly Hills, them bitches hold diamonds. Like, that's my fruit.
Wait, in what context do they hold these things?
Like, at the beginning of the show, when it does the intro, they'll have all of them lined up. And they're all standing there, like, holding a fruit.
Okay.
Like, Orange County is obviously...
Orange.
An orange. Yeah, basically. They don't do that with the... Now, there's another new show called WAGS, Wives and Girlfriends of Professional Athletes.
That does not sound entertaining at all.
It is not.
That sounds like this talent competition I worked maybe a couple months ago that was judged by, like, a housewife, a basketball wife, and some other reality show star. And I kept wondering... How do these women judge talent competitions when none of them have talent?
Have any.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I mean, it's, I don't know. I'm not interested.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not interested. And I honestly, it takes a lot to pull me on to a reality show nowadays. Because they did the Hamiltons and the Stewarts, Rod Stewart's family, and then George Hamilton, I think is his name. He was a big Vegas performer.
Okay.
And they started doing a reality show about their family. I watched a couple of episodes. The only thing that I liked about that show was the fact that they kept it like old school, because their family was very old school Vegas, so it was very Sinatra, and even their like 16-year-old son is like, it's just debonair. They kind of just have that old Hollywood classy kind of thing. But I didn't finish watching that either. I just don't have the energy to involve myself in anybody else's life.
No, I've never liked reality shows. I'm kind of, it's kind of nice to see you not liking them either anymore.
Well, I watch The Housewives of Everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Except...
You still do?
L.A.
Okay.
Or that...
Why not L.A.?
Okay, let me make this completely clear. The Housewives are like The Housewives of Atlanta, I watch. The Housewives of New York, Orange County, Beverly Hills. Like, all the Housewife franchises I watch. But the Basketball Wives franchise, I don't... I watch the Miami one a little bit, but the L.A. one sucks. Like, it's because they... I don't know. It's a different... I'm telling you, it's new money. New money's not attractive to me.
And none of the... I mean, I've never watched any of these shows, so I could be completely wrong, but none of them seem like they have any personalities, because why would they? That's not why they're married to these people. They're married to them because they look a certain way,
mm-hmm.
and that has nothing to do with what they act like.
Yeah. There's a new housewife on Orange County, and her husband's a professional athlete, and I can't remember his name, but... She is such a bitch, and she has no personality, and she just, you can tell that she's just constantly trying to stir up and make up problems to make herself relevant, and he doesn't even like her. Like, when you watch it, like the whole voyeurism kind of situation where you really get to see not their complete relationship. I feel like he tolerates her because she's very young and beautiful, but... He makes comments all the time on the slick, and I don't know if she just doesn't catch them or not. When she's like they got into an argument, and she's like, "Well, how dare her, Vicky, say that? Because you know I'm gonna be your wife forever." And then he was like, "We'll see." Undermines her with these little slick comments, like, "Okay," and she was like, I hate that we're gone from each other because they've only been married 4 months and they've not even really even spent a whole week together because he travels for work so much.
Wow.
And she was like, you know, I just can't take this anymore that you travel all the time and we never get to spend time with each other. And he's like, don't get your hopes up.
Oh.
That kind of stuff. So
that's not a healthy marriage.
Yeah. I don't know who that chick is. I can't remember her name. That tells you how... much I can't stand her. She's been on all season. Her name's not coming to me right now. But yeah, she has no personality.
I mean, most of the time, people who don't look as good or people who have some sort of like mental or physical handicap sort of have to develop a personality or a sense of humor or some kind of quality to help them get by in life and not just fail at every level. Like, if you look that good, you've probably been handed so many things, you haven't needed to develop any good qualities.
Yeah, basically. They, but the ones, like I said, the old money ones are entertaining to me because I don't know that lifestyle. I don't know what it's like to, the one girl on The Housewives of New York, she's part of the Kennedy family.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know what that kind of lifestyle is like. So that stuff is interesting to me.
Yeah. Some of it could, from like a cultural point of view.
Yeah.
Like,
and the ladies
you were talking about the Vegas thing, like, I don't know if I'd like that much more than the rest of them because of the style of the show, but at least it'd be interesting to see that culture, because I don't see that much. It's not around my regular life. So
yeah, they're very, they have, the Hamiltons, they have a very Sinatra type of vibe, because they all, I mean, his dad's royalty in Vegas, like old Vegas royalty,
right?
Basically.
Yeah.
And I'm a big Sinatra fan, so.
Yeah, I like him.
I dig that.
Yeah.
What else is going on television?
Football. You gonna set your mic down? Week one just happened. It was exciting.
Did you watch Monday Night Football last night? I know you wanted to.
Yep, I did. I did. The Falcons won in a really good game with the Eagles. Both of them came to play.
Does Michael Vick still play for the Eagles?
No.
Who's he play for now?
I don't think he's on a team right now. Sam Bradford is the quarterback of the Eagles. But you'll be happy to know that Marcus Mariota led the Titans to a beatdown of, I think it was the Buccaneers. The Titans might actually be really good this year based on the first game.
Yay, I can't wait till we start to win.
Yeah, yeah.
Football.
But in the first game, which is the reason I wrote it down as a topic to talk about in the first place, was the Steelers and the Patriots, which after ESPN wrote like a 10-page article about how the Patriots have cheated throughout the years since their first Super Bowl up to now. And it was surprising to see an actual like big name news source talk about that, because up to this point it's been kind of obvious and a lot of fans have felt that way, but yet like major news, the ESPN, NFL, all that stuff haven't addressed it. They've acted as if it didn't happen because it would hurt the brand and they don't want anything to come against the brand. But it was interesting to see ESPN actually talk about it. And they wrote a very long article talking about all the intricacies of how they've cheated over the years and how it helped them win 4 Super Bowls and how none of their Super Bowls are actually legitimate.
P.S. Miss Georgia won Miss America.
Nice.
Miss USA. Last weekend.
Oh, good for you.
And one of their questions was about the football deflating situation.
What was the question?
I don't remember.
Okay.
But her answer was, I don't know. I would have to hold one of the balls in my hand and see if it felt deflated.
And she's the winner of Miss America.
Because she sang opera for her talent portion and, like, killed it. Like, she Ave Maria'd her ass right onto that, right underneath that crown. Wow. But, I mean, cool that she won, but that her answer to that question was
terrible.
I don't even know.
Well, the other issue that came up, like, when the Patriots played the Steelers just this past weekend was the Steelers kept in their headsets, when they're supposed to be able to communicate with each other to get things coordinated, they kept getting the Patriots radio station broadcast in their headsets. And then anytime a Steelers official would walk over to the stadium officials to try to address the issue, suddenly it would go away. And then the Steelers official would walk back toward his own bench and it would come back. And they say they're not cheating. That's fucking cheating.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. That's why none of the Patriots Super Bowls are legitimate.
They should just put it on ludicrous radio. that would encourage them to win. Move, bitch. They could put it on the Nukies on the Block station of Pandora.
Yeah.
Hanging tough. That might motivate them as well. Have you eaten at any restaurants recently that have blown your mind?
I did get Da Vinci's Pizza last night. That was a celebration of moving into my new apartment. And woo-hoo! I must say that's my favorite pizza in the city.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, Da Vinci's and Savage Pizza are my top two in Atlanta. And Savage, I'll give the edge for the atmosphere when you dine in, because the walls are all covered in comic books and like there's a really cool nerdy vibe.
But they're not dog friendly.
Yeah, that's true.
And they have a patio, which blows my mind. Go ahead.
Sorry. Yeah. But their pizza is really good, and their atmosphere is really good. But Da Vinci's Pizza on flavor alone has got to be my favorite pizza in the city.
I can't think of any restaurant, but I don't know where they've been all summer. But a couple of days ago, I realized that you can buy an icy at the grocery store.
Like 7-Eleven kind of icy?
Yep, a slushy. And you put it in the freezer, and then it's in like a little squeeze pouch, and I've been on them for the last couple of days.
Wait, you mean in those like thin little tubes?
Yeah, like a that kind of aluminum kind of freezer pack. Like when you
like
buy
a Capri Sun?
Like a Capri Sun or a margarita, I was going to say. You could buy the margaritas.
Huh.
But I'm pretty excited about that, and I'm so confused about where they've been.
Yeah.
I had my first Airhead this week.
What?
Yeah.
First ever?
Ever.
What?
I had no idea. Delicious.
Yeah, you've been missing out.
A friend of mine was like, do you want red or blue? And I'm like, what the F do I look like? Of course I want red. And then so I ate the red one. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. And then he was like, hey, I bet you this blue one tastes better. I was like, there's no way. It did. So good. I did not. No, I'd never had an airhead before.
Wow.
I mean, I've dated some.
Yeah, but not in your mouth. Yeah.
No, I don't need it. It wasn't a sign to do it. Are my eyelashes falling off?
I don't think so. Okay.
These eyelashes have been hanging on all day. These little Target lashes, honey. They've been hanging on for this photo shoot since the crack of dawn today. I took them off, redid them. I'm like, I'm sick of these lashes.
In other news, in bad news, Rupert Murdoch, the owner of Fox Television and everything else, apparently just bought National Geographic, despite the fact he doesn't believe in global warming. It's good to know our science sources are in good hands.
Who, you know, that was my dream in high school.
What?
Was to work for either Vogue magazine or National Geographic.
Yeah.
Like, if you look in the back of my senior book, or not senior book, but like the book that you put all your pictures in, your little scrapbook, mm-hmm. and then there's a little place that's like, where do you see yourself in 10 years? And I said, living in New York, driving a Porsche 911, and I'm the editor-in-chief of Vogue magazine.
Damn.
Little country girl.
Wow.
I'm not the editor-in-chief of Vogue, but I've done some pretty amazing things so far.
Yeah, that's true. You have.
Not exactly what I had planned. But I wanted to work for National Geographic, too. But screw Rupert Murdoch. I hope he hears this and tries to shut table talk off. I can't stand him.
Yeah, yeah, that's a terrible move. So apparently, I think it's $750 million is the price of dignity over at National Geographic, because now you can't trust anything they're going to publish in the foreseeable future.
Right.
It's pretty fucked up.
You've seen Outfox. We've talked about that, haven't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, 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 yeah. And it's not a secret that Fox News is the worst piece of shit on television, even worse than these stupid reality shows.
Yeah, I would rather watch Kate Plus 8, which is another one of my least favorite reality shows.
Yeah.
Than watch that.
Yeah.
Well, you know that 18 Kids and Counting, they just took that off the air completely.
Why?
Because the son admitted to, like, he molested his sisters when he was little.
Whoa.
Because you got 18 kids, you can't keep an eye on all them babies at one time.
No.
Somebody, and you're extra religious, which means it's suppressing any sort of sexual exploration at all, or any questions. Nobody can come up and ask. You know, there's no way they could go up. Their dad's like a Pentecostal preacher. Like, they couldn't, there's no way for them to be honest and ask, have an open, honest dialogue with their parents about anything sexual, or hey, maybe, you know, I'm having these feelings, you know, about being gay or whatever. They could never have those conversations. And so that's what happens.
Yeah.
When you suppress people and suppress their ability.
They have no way to healthily express themselves. Yeah.
So now you're messing with your sisters. But they took that show completely off the air. But that was another one of my least favorite.
Well, that's just a terrible thing to do, have that many kids. That's such a burden on society. We're already overpopulated as it is.
Man, it was so much. I'm trying to think.
All those cars in traffic, all those resources they're burning.
Teen Mom can still get it. I watch Teen Mom and Teen Mom 2. I am addicted.
Is that the same one that had a porn tape?
Yeah, Farrah Abraham. Mm. She had a porn, and then she sold it for like $1 million. But she's such a weird character because she's very fake. Like, as she's gotten older, she's real fake. Like,
physically or
all of
personality?
It.
Yeah.
All of it, because she had got all that money. So, of course, she got boobs. She got her teeth fixed. I think she got like her chin slivered, like shaved down or something. Mm-hmm. She got all this plastic surgery and stuff. And the way that she, like, she is very calculated in how she presents herself now, because she got so much backlash. She didn't shoot a porn, whatever, but her boyfriend was a porn star, and he leaked it, and then Vivid, she bought it for $1 million.
Yeah.
I wish Vivid gave a damn about me for $1 million, because I'd be having sex all over television. Like, oh, really, Vivid? You handing out checks like that? Great. But she, yeah, she's just really weird. And she's never really had a boyfriend. And every time she gets one, she's just extra, like, I think she feels like she can kind of buy a boyfriend at this point.
She got famous for having sex at a young age and then sold herself, and now she's had a shitload of plastic surgery. What about her is appealing?
She does a lot of, she travels a lot, and she hosts a lot of parties in Vegas. So her lifestyle is very glamorous. She literally is jet setting all over the country, probably all over the world, like definitely Vegas. And she's does all these shows and all these parties. So, and she's beautiful.
I have to believe that if you're like successful or rich enough to interact with her enough that she considers you an option to date, you probably have better options than her.
Probably. The fact that she's such a bitch to her mom, and the fact that she's just so clingy with these guys. Because I'm telling you, she was dating this one guy last season, really good-looking kid, and the whole time she's like, aren't I the best girlfriend in the world? Because I can take you to Las Vegas and all these parties and everything, and don't you want to meet my daughter and my mom? And, like, she can date somebody a week, and she's worse than me. She can date somebody a week and be completely invested and want them to meet her kid, want them to meet her mom. Are we getting married? I don't want to be single forever. Like, she's pounding these guys with these.
Damn.
Well, when do you want to get married? Have you thought about marriage? I don't want to be a girlfriend forever. And he's like, bitch, we've been dating for 2 months. Like, no, I don't. I wish I could. I need to take my own advice as far as I'm concerned. But she's really pushy, and then her child is really gorgeous, but very spoiled and very misbehaved, and now she's older.
How old is she?
Her daughter?
Either one of them.
Her daughter is 4 or 5.
Oh.
5, maybe 6.
Okay.
At this point, 4 or 5.
Okay. What, is she in her 30s or something? 20s? She must be 20s, right?
Yeah, she's like 21.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah, because she was 16
when she got pregnant. Wow, okay.
But she took that guy home to meet her daughter, and her daughter was screaming at him, was all over him. It was just too much. Like, you should have some kind of a conversation with your kid before your man gets here and say, pump the brakes. I don't feel like that her verbiage with her is very clear. I don't feel like she has a very...
She doesn't sound mature enough to handle a kid in the first place.
Yeah. No, not at all.
Wow.
So, anyway, I really think that's enough about Teen Mom.
Yeah, at least she doesn't have 21 of them, though.
Right. 77 kids and counting.
Have you watched any movies lately?
I have not.
Okay.
Still trying to work out The Gift. Still definitely want to see that.
Yeah.
That movie, The Perfect Guy.
Don't know anything about it.
You probably don't.
Nope.
Because it's kind of chick flicky, but that kinda came out. Yeah, it's a very, I don't know, it's just a movie about this psycho guy, and then they're like, there's a twist at the end, and I'm like, what's the twist? Like, he's not really crazy, he just really loves her.
That would be the worst twist ever.
Like, he's not crazy, he's just considerate. But, like, the clips from on TV, like, she lays down in her bed, and he's, like, laying underneath her bed like this.
Whoa.
Like, yeah, it's a bit much. Hmm. So I don't want to see that.
Yeah.
But, yeah, definitely The Gift is the only thing that I can think of right now that's on my top to sees.
I want
to
see that. I want to see Straight Outta Compton.
Yeah, I haven't seen Straight Outta Compton. We should go to the drive-in.
You're right, we should.
We haven't been in a while.
No. The two that I have seen recently are the new Michael Bay Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, which was not a good movie, but because my standards were so low, it was better than I thought it would be. I'm not going to sit here and try to sell it to you, but if you're like really, really high one day and you want to watch something colorful with some explosions, you could do worse.
colorful with explosions. My favorite thing to get high and watch is my soap operas.
Oh, well, never mind then.
My friend caught me watching my soap opera. I watched Days of Our Lives. I'm out.
Do you watch Matlock too?
No, I don't. I watch Days of Our Lives, and I watch it every day. I've been watching it every day since I was born. I've been watching Days of Our Lives for 40 years. That is such a true story, and I'm so involved. I really, I can't. I'll take a break and not watch it for a while, and then I'll start watching it again, and I'm so into it. And,
that's not still running, is it?
Days of Our Lives?
Yeah.
Yes.
Wait. There's no way it's been running for 40 years.
Yes. I think it's 45, actually.
What?
Is how long it's been on. Mm-hmm. But my my friend Reese caught me watching it the other day. And he was like, what are you watching? And I'm like, my stories. And he was like, what?
While you were knitting in a rocking chair.
Right. He was like, nobody watches that anymore. And I'm like, I feel like he's black. And I'm like, you mean that you didn't grow up watching stories with your mom or anything? And he was like, no. And I'm like, don't take this the wrong way. But I feel like black people are invested in soap operas, you know, like quite a bit because because all of us grew up watching it. And he was like, old black people. And I was like, oh, shit, I'm old.
What I had a nanny when I was like born through age, I don't know, 10. And she was an old black lady, and she was the greatest lady in the world. She was my favorite person, and she used to watch Days of Our Lives.
Is that why you only interracial date now? Because you feel like a black woman's the only woman that can take care of you?
It might be. I don't know. I can't make any statements on that. It might be. But anyway, she used to watch Days of Our Lives while she sat in a rocking chair and knitted, and she called it her stories. And so you kind of just made me think of her.
Days of Our Lives has been on television for 50 years.
Good Lord. Wow.
Hold on. I don't know. I'm trying to see if I'm reading this correctly.
How does that stack up in the longest running television series of all time?
I Googled the longest running television series when I was road tripping not too long ago, and I can't remember. There were a lot of them. They, Price is Right has been on for since TV
like
began.
The 30s. Like it started in black and white.
Yeah, basically. The first Days of Our Lives aired on in 1968.
Wow.
And I was born in 1974, and I'm telling you, I have been watching it for
since you were 6 years old.
Since I was born.
You saw the series the series premiere of Days of Our Lives.
What a jerk. It took me a minute to catch where you were going with that, you son of a bitch. Yes, Dave. I was 20 when the first episode aired.
The promo's coming soon. Days of Our Lives.
Whatever. That show is so good. And I grew up with the actors. A lot of those actors have been on there for eons, and they're dying off.
Wow.
They're so committed to their actors.
So it's been all one continuous story?
Well, no. I mean, people have been divorced, married, had affairs, got possessed by the devil. That was a little weird when that happened.
Right, but it all takes place as if it's all happening within the same world?
Yeah.
Wow.
Everybody lives in Salem.
Hmm.
Yep.
Crazy.
But they're so committed to their characters that they had two of the longest standing characters die, and they built a fake monument in the middle of the town square on the soap opera for them. Because people have been on there for eons.
Yeah.
I feel like they're trying to, Carol Brady, she's been on there for a long time, and I feel like they're trying to kill her off, or she's tired of acting, one of the two, because they are making up Alzheimer's for her now. And
she
like,
can't remember her lines anymore.
What can we do if she can't? Oh, we'll give her a fake disease. Fake. Wink, wink. And then just let her retire. But, like, I know this doesn't mean anything to you, but anybody that's listening that watches Days of Our Lives might know, but Victor Kiriakis is one of the bad guys turned good guy, and that motherfucker is old now. He's got to be in his 80s, at least. And it's cool because they'll do flashbacks of the, like, when they were younger because they have that footage, and it's just dope that it's the same actor.
That is cool.
From 50 years ago, like, remember back when we blah, 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 and then they'll show a flashback video. It is, like, legit them from way back. It's awesome.
That is
cool.
It's
not a fake flashback. That really happened. But, yeah, it's cool, and Stefano D'Amara is the main bad guy, like the D'Amara families, and he's been on there for, I mean, he's an older man. He's two now. Yeah, so I don't know.
All right.
Meh. And they introduced a gay couple last year.
Oh, wow.
They let one of their characters come out. And that was cool. And the dope part about that is they didn't do it in a way. Everybody's supportive of it.
Yeah.
All the actors are, you know, their characters are very supportive. And I love to see that. Because it's not like it's a big deal or he had a hard time coming out. Like, his grandfather is like, you know, love your husband and your child. And, like, it's just cool.
Wait, so before that happened, did they exist in a world where gay people didn't exist?
I guess, because there weren't any.
Huh, okay.
There weren't any. I never saw them.
Right.
They existed in my world way before that.
Some of them kind of hinted, but weren't, like, officially.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I saw Boy George the other day. Not in person.
Oh, okay.
But on I Am Kate, the Caitlyn Jenner documentary.
Okay.
And I think Boy George was probably the first introduction that I had to any gay people. Because I remember being a little kid and somebody being like, he dates boys. And me being like, what? What? Really? Can they do that? Can we do that? I didn't know.
I'm not that familiar with him. I've heard the name a lot of times, mostly in that context.
I think Culture Club, Do You Really Want to Hurt Me? The Crying Game song.
Okay.
I think was him.
Hmm.
I don't want to get any big gay backlash from not knowing my Boy George shit.
Well, the only other movie I saw like 2 weeks ago, I guess now, was Faults, which is on Netflix. It's about a girl who's in a cult who her parents hire this deprogrammer guy to try to, like, mind fuck her back to normal. And they, like, lock themselves up in this hotel room for a weekend, and he tries to deprogram her out of this cult. It's an interesting drama.
I can't remember if you were the one that told me about that or somebody else told me about that. But I've heard about that recently, that same movie. I think I heard about it at ATS.
Oh, okay. Yeah, for some reason, cults have been on my mind because I listened to the Joe Rogan podcast recently, and he had a guest on there who was a deprogrammer for that.
Really?
Yep.
I mean,
not for the movie, but for
people
in that situation.
I feel like deprogramming somebody from a cult would just involve slapping them in the back of the head real hard and being going, snap out of it. And then that would kind of be it. And you'd be like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, it should work that way. But most of the time, they're more like deeply intellectually invested in it. And they really believe that what they're doing is righteous or whatever.
Like Christians.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. I wonder how much trouble I'm going to get in for that. If any. I don't even know if I am. I'm a Christian. You're Jewish. We've got the gambit covered over here.
Yeah.
There are no other religions.
Of Judeo-Christian religions.
That's
except
it.
For Islam.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And Rastafari.
Is that Judeo-Christian?
No. I don't know. I like Rastas because they eat vegetables and smoke a lot of weed.
Yeah.
And they always talk about Jah.
Although I recently met a Jamaican guy who specifically doesn't smoke because he doesn't want to live in that stereotype. I respect that.
I feel bad for him. I feel bad for him. I'll live in his stereotype for him then.
There you go.
You can buy medicinal in Little Five now.
I know. I saw that. They're bold now.
What you got to do to get a card?
I don't know.
It's just oils, though, I think.
Is it?
Yeah.
I was in Venice Beach a month
Little
ago.
Little Five Points is in Atlanta, in case anybody's wondering. It's the hippie neighborhood.
Yeah. But in Venice Beach, you can pretty much just walk up off the boardwalk and be like, oh, my back kind of hurts, and they'll give you a card.
Oh, my back's aching. need some weed. I know a dude that was such a stoner that when they legalized it in Colorado, he moved there because of that.
I bet a lot of people did. I kind of wish I had lived in Colorado before that happening so that I could get a decent price on a place to live there. Because I feel like the housing market has probably skyrocketed along with the population there.
Right. Yeah, marijuana.
Yep.
It's changing the world.
Huge business.
One toke at a time. I don't know what I would do without you, Mary Jane. Anything else? I am currently listening to Lookalive's new CD, and it is extra dope. And I'm not just saying that because she is my friend. I'm saying that because legitimately it is so dope. Like, I listen to it all the time. And it's a great CD to smoke and ride.
That 45 seconds you played for us in the car sounded great.
Yeah, it's sick. And lyrically, you know, it's funny because I know that I have, all my friends are talented. Mm-hmm. I know you guys are. Mm-hmm. And but when I actually, I was just like, I can't believe I know her. When I first started listening to that, I'm like, wow. Like, she really is sick.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. And the beats and everything. It's just a good rideable. Like I said, that's a good smoke and ride, a CD.
Yeah.
But I'm listening to it because I'm going to do a skit for her in between.
What do you mean?
A skit, like, after the song.
Oh, nice.
The actual
nice.
CD, yeah.
Okay.
Because I got the, you know, it's funny because I was talking to Tally the other day. My friend, one of my good friends, Tally, who's also good friends with Lookalive, and Lookalive gave her a copy of the CD as well. And she was like, we were just talking about it and going off, and our friend Saroj that was sitting there was like, you two are the only two people that have a copy. So can you stop talking about how fire that nobody else is listening to it except you?
Yeah.
Because she hasn't, obviously, for obvious reasons, she's not giving it out to anybody. But just, I the only reason I have it, like I said, is because I need it to write a skit. But that is, it is banging. And the best part about that CD, she gave it to me with a gram of weed in it.
Nice.
It's like the best present I ever got.
Yeah.
Like, here, smoke this and listen to this. Yes.
I really need to link up with a rapper and collaborate on a project because I've been producing a lot lately and I don't really have any sort of like end game to it at the moment. But I would love to meet someone who I could enjoy their lyrics and I could respect them as a hip hop artist and I could produce something for them.
Man, I don't think I'm going to get in trouble for saying this because I'm pretty sure it's common knowledge, but I know you don't know it.
What?
I regret to inform everyone that Vincent Clark is officially broken up.
Oh, no.
Yep. The group is no longer together.
Damn.
I spoke to two of them right when Clayton won, honestly. I spoke to Drake and to JD. And it's not like a hard feeling, malice kind of situation. They just really want to go and do their own thing. And I can't be mad at that, but they sound so beautiful together.
Yeah, they do.
That it's like, man. But yeah, they're Vincent Clark.
Damn.
It's broken up. Now they're doing their solo thing.
Hmm.
So I wish them the best of luck. They're all talented individually.
They
so
are. They all have
be
the potential to succeed.
Like, man, that really just broke my heart a little bit.
So
other than that, Heaven Beatbox is performing, I think, next Thursday night with Arrested Development in Atlanta. You can just Google it.
Yeah. I'm getting ready to call this the All Our Old Friends edition.
Right. Well, they're still our friends. They're not old friends.
That's true. That's
we
true.
Still kick it and smoke Lookalive's weed and listen to our CDs. Ain't nothing changed except the locale. I'm ready to get back out on the road.
Yeah.
I think all of our listeners in the UK should get together and fund and bring me and you to the UK to do a table talk there.
Hell yes.
That sounds great.
I would love to do
that. I've never been ever. So
we should start like a Kickstarter or something.
To get us to London?
Yeah.
I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
But we've got enough UK listeners. We should be able. They should slide us in there too. What about our Germany and actually, Sweden listeners?
I mean, yeah, not even just London. Like we could do a whole Europe tour or anywhere else in England. I don't know specifically what cities you're in.
Me either. And we didn't realize until this week that we had that many UK followers.
Right.
So, because our new numbers came in.
But shout out to y'all! Thanks for the support.
Yeah, we don't know why y'all like it so much until I started Googling UK news, and the only thing that came up was pedophile rings. And I was like, man, they need to laugh so bad over there.
Hopefully that's not them listening to us.
Right. Yeah, and I learned a new phrase today called the dark internet. Isn't that what it's called?
I think the dark net.
Dark net.
I can't remember. Yeah.
That's so creepy to me that there's an underground internet. Yeah. I'm not really surprised.
The black market of the internet.
Right. Yeah. I'm not surprised, I wouldn't say so much, but freaked out none the damn.
Right. I don't know anything about how to get into it. I don't want to get into it. I'm not looking into it. I'm not interested, but it's kind of a fascinating subject to know that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, about that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, yeah, our UK listeners, you guys get us over there and show us some UK culture.
Yeah. Preferably not porn rings, but you know.
Right, no. Yeah, definitely not.
not that stuff.
Underground baby rapers. I'm not down with any of that.
No.
That's creepy.
I know.
That whole scenario is just creepy to me.
Yeah.
I would rather think about the human centipede than think about a pedophile porn ring with the dark internet. I say it like it's the Dark Knight.
We're ending this episode on a sunny note.
The Dark Knight. The dark internet. I told you that. I can't watch Batman anything before I go to bed anymore.
Really?
I can't because I had the worst dream of my entire life.
About the Joker?
Yeah. I told you about it.
I don't think you did.
Oh, it was so bad. I'll tell you off the air. That's how bad it was.
Okay.
That was the creepiest freaking dream. I woke up, and I'm a grown woman. I woke up panicked. I woke up with my heart racing a million miles. I was sweating. I was looking around my bedroom. I was, like, scared. It was a bad dream.
Damn.
I can't watch Batman at night anymore. I know it's all the Batman movies during the day. They're too sadistic and angry for me.
Just gotta put on your stories first.
I just gotta watch Days of Our Lives right before I go to bed. But it's not on then. It's only on at 1 o'clock on NBC. Ooh, since Clayton's got those NBC connections, maybe he can get me a role on Days of Our Lives. I wonder who I would play on Days of Our Lives. I don't want to be a Demera. I don't want to be part of the evil, rich Italian family. Okay, Dave.
You lost me.
You wake up.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else that we need to add?
No, we're coming up on an hour.
And I'm coming up on my birthday very quickly.
Yeah, happy almost
couple
birthday.
Weeks. F. Yeah, about that. So anyway, yeah, stay tuned for the book. Again, shout out to Clayton English. Congratulations, and thank you guys for tuning in. Dave, what's your information?
It's Instagram. It's Defiant, DeFyent. I don't even know why I say that anymore because I got 77 fucking followers.
So when we did the photo shoot for the book today, we did it at a railroad track, and Dave found an old flashlight that had Defiant. Didn't have Defiant?
Yeah, it had Defiant written on the side because that's what brand it was. And I looked inside of it, and there were Defiant brand batteries. I didn't know that existed.
That's crazy. You did bring it home, though, right?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
All right. Well, dopeness. Thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can follow me on Instagram, Facebook, Periscope, all that jazz at Comedian Reggie Jackson. And we love you guys and all of our UK listeners. We love you guys especially because y'all have followed us everywhere apparently. And Koozie, we'll see you guys next week.
You just listened to Table Talk.
Table Talk with Reggie Jackson.
Goodbye.